the technology working this morning. Good work, fellas. Well, my name is Jeremy Stevens. Thank you for the introduction. And yes, it sounds like Phil Altmaier, our CEO, and Jerry go a ways back.
Yeah, 50 years.
50 years, yeah. Yeah, that's a long time. Well, hey, I want to say thank you for inviting myself, my family, to this place. I love preaching the word and getting to meet believers this side of heaven. You know, if I didn't have this opportunity, some of you I wouldn't meet until the other side. And so it's always a pleasure to see faces and people that love Jesus that I get to worship with this side. I'd like to just do a quick introduction, and we're going to get into the Word a little bit, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Union Gospel Mission, what's going down on Snake River Avenue, what's being built down there. And so my wife and I grew up here in the LC Valley, and so this is home for us. I graduated from LHS, Bonnie was homeschooled, and after we got married in 2010, we spent a couple years here, and then we left. We left and went to a couple different places and then ended up in Hayden, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And when we left, we said to God, we would never come back. And, well, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? When we were in Hayden area, Bonnie began working with the Union Gospel Mission and was an addictions counselor in our recovery program. And that's how we were initially introduced to UGM and fell in love with it. I was part of a leadership team with a church up there, and then as things had it, God just continued to lead us more and more towards UGM. And when we had the opportunity to come back to Lewiston, we raised our hands for this opportunity to be with the Union Gospel Mission. So really excited to be home for this purpose. I feel like there's no other reason that I would have come back except for this purpose, and so it's good to be back here. I'd like to read our text this morning out of Luke 10, if you would join me there. Now, this is a text that's going to be, you'll see, but it's going to be, it's very important to the Union Gospel Mission, and it very much gives us perspective as to why we do what we do. And this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responds, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But the lawyer, he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, and leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, took pity upon him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you with any of the extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert of the law replies, the man who had mercy on him. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. Let's begin the morning with prayer. Father, as we open your word, there are things here, Holy Spirit, that you want to bring out in our own hearts. So, Father, we give you our ears, we give you our hearts, we give you our eyes, our minds. Father, we give you ourselves. Would you mold us? Would you help us to hear and understand and go and do likewise? Holy Spirit, move in the text today. Help me in my preaching and in our hearing. In your name, Jesus, we love you. Amen. Now, this is a hypothetical story that I'm going to tell you, but imagine this. You're leaving a grocery store. You're pushing your cart toward the car. You have a load of groceries, okay? And you face a decision, a dilemma. I think we've all been here before. The cart return is 30 feet away, but the curb is right next to your car, which looks pretty good. A good spot to temporarily leave that cart. You glance around. There's no employees. There's nobody watching, no security cameras. And you kind of just bump that cart up on that curb. And you begin to talk to yourself about this, right? Other people do it. There's carts all over the place, right? It's job security. The guy that gets the carts, he needs some more work, right? My knee, it's been really bothering me. I shouldn't test it, right? That's 30 feet away. So we begin feeling morally covered, right? You give that cart a gentle little push into the curb, you get in your car, and as you turn around to look back, what do you see? But a woman that could be in her 80s, and what is she doing? She's pushing her cart towards the return. And not only is she pushing it, but she's pushing it looking at you. And she's giving you that look. You know the look, right? Like, bless your heart. Nice try, buddy. I see you. We all have moments like that. You have felt that before, haven't you? I know I have. Times like that that we justify our actions or justify ourselves. And that is exactly what is happening that we see the lawyer doing when he's asking these questions to Jesus of saying, who is my neighbor? He isn't really looking for an answer. Rather, he's looking for validation in how he's living. And Jesus, in true form, doesn't give him a straightforward answer, does he? He responds with a story. He responds with a parable. So, who is my neighbor? The lawyer begins with, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this guy isn't just anyone. It's not just somebody in the crowd asking Jesus a normal question. What he is doing is, he's actually asking, it's a leading question. I hate those leading questions. They already know the answer, but they want to make sure, do you know the answer, right? Rather than just asking a normal question, he's leading Jesus towards something. This lawyer is an expert in the law. He's got the text memorized. He knows the answer, you guys. But he's asking Jesus, what's written in the law? And Jesus flips it on him and says, well, how do you read it? Jesus is a really good question asker. He always responds, used typically with a question. The lawyer is looking for a loophole. He wants to define neighbor in a way that makes obedience to Jesus comfortable and easy. And we do the same. How often do we read scripture and in ways we want affirmation out of it rather than transformation? We read into scripture and we go, oh, I'm doing good. This is in this text, I'm the Samaritan. Right? We look for affirmation instead of transformation. So Jesus, rather than giving the textbook answer, he tells us this story of the Good Samaritan, the priest, and the Levite. A man traveling from Jericho. It's a dangerous road. It's full of robbers. And sure enough, he's attacked. This man is beaten, he's stripped, and he's left for dead. Now, a priest walks by. This is a man of God. Known by many people as a man of God. Not only his garb, but all day long, people know who this man is. And this is someone who knows the law, and yet crosses on the other side. It's not that he didn't see him. He chooses to go the other way. And then a Levite, by the same, another religious leader comes along, same reaction, goes the other way. Again, I think we can relate to this, and we'll continue in this theme in just a second. But then Jesus introduces an unexpected hero, a Samaritan. Now, for Jesus' audience, this would have been shocking. This would have been heresy, right? This is terrible that Jesus is saying that a Samaritan would do this over a Jewish leader. Jews and Samaritans despised each other, and yet this is the one who stops. The Samaritan is the one who stops. The text says he has compassion. Now, Jesus, in the original language, he actually uses the word compassion that's directly correlated with how God is used in compassion. So he's giving this characteristic to a Samaritan. I'm going to get further into that, but giving this characteristic of God to the Samaritan. Again, this would have been something crazy for the hearers to hear. And this isn't just feeling bad for somebody. This is it's a gut-wrenching, I have to do something kind of response. It's a compassion that moves you to, it's not just pity, it's not just, oh man, that's terrible. It's, I have to do something. He doesn't just help a little. He bandages the man's wounds. He puts him on his own donkey. He takes him to the inn, and he pays for all of his care. And here's the challenge that we see. Compassion costs something. It's inconvenient. It's messy. It's uncomfortable. And fear can tell us it's risky. Inconvenience whispers, you've already done enough. Indifference says, somebody else will handle it. There's more people on this road. But Jesus is redefining what it means to be a neighbor. It's not about who qualifies as a neighbor. It's about whether we will choose to be a neighbor. It's not about who. It's about us. Becoming a neighbor is about transformation, not just action. Now, to put in a modern day kind of perspective, Let's say, I mean, the priest is a pastor. It's a pastor of a local church that's well known, that it should be known to help people, right? And the Levite could be a community leader that is known in a nonprofit sector that helps resource people for everything that they need. And then the Samaritan, it depends on who you are, but it's your enemy. It's the very person that you despise. In Christian terms, it could be the Muslim. In political terms, it could be a Democrat. It could be a Republican. You understand what I'm saying? When Jesus phrases this, it's putting into your mind going, the worst of the worst did what was right. And that's what Jesus is trying to point out. He's trying to grab their attention going, hey, you need to focus on not who is your neighbor, but on yourself. It's meant to make us go, ooh, right? He's grabbing our attention in this. And Jesus asks in this story, which of these three prove to be a neighbor? The lawyer can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan. If you look at the text, it says in verse 36, which of these three do you think was a neighbor of the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And then 37, the expert of the law replies, the one who had mercy on him. He can't even say it was the Samaritan. He can't even bring himself to say it. Jesus simply says, go and do likewise. Now, I'd like to point this out because it's more than just go and do likewise. In the original, it's the word genomai. Can you say that with me? Genomai. Genomai. And the word gives more emphasis on go and become. Not just go and do, but go and become. Because doing sometimes can not involve our head or our hearts. It's just in our hands and our feet and such. But go and become involves something of who we are. Something of our nature. He wants us to go and become a neighbor. This isn't just about doing a good deed now and then. It's about transformation. It's about a heart of stone becoming a heart of flesh, something that can be molded into what Jesus wants us to be. It's the kind of person whose the love of God naturally flows out. I know you guys maybe have heard the term like a knee-jerk response. It's just something that happens. It's out of nature. And so Jesus is looking for our hearts to be so transformed that when something comes along, when there's a situation that comes wrong, that we just do the right thing. We don't even have to think about it, right? It's just in our nature. It's the Spirit indwelt is controlling us to the point we don't even have to think about it. The Spirit of God is leading us to action. Go and do likewise. Jesus turns to us and says, go and do likewise. Go and become. And I ask, this is maybe if you have group studies throughout the week, this may be a text that you can go back to as a community and ask these questions of, what areas of my life are shaped by fear or comfort or indifference, particularly when it comes to a neighbor? Now, in this situation, we're seeing a man that's beaten on the side of the road, but I think our neighbors are sometimes, they could be family members that take a little bit more energy, right? Those family members that want to stay on the phone and talk a little bit longer than you would like to talk. You guys are all smiling because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe it's that neighbor that kind of annoys you. They put their garbage can a little too far out in the street when you're trying to... more smile. Our neighbors are very different, but Jesus goes to the point of the extreme, doesn't he? But neighbors can fall into a lot of different categories. What areas of our life that may be shaped by fear, comfort, and indifference? What's holding us back from loving our neighbor well, from loving our neighbor in the way Jesus desires us to love them? And here's the truth. Love that costs us nothing isn't really love. But love that costs, that's a kind of love that transforms. That's a kind of love that changes people's lives. I hear many testimonies of having somebody gone from here to here, that they met somebody along the way, that gave them a chance, that went out of their way, that responded to their need in such a way that changed their life, that made them question life itself. Why are you doing this for me? I'm going to be sure. I wish we could know the rest of the story, Jesus. What happened to the man after the gentleman comes back to the inn and there's this healed person going, you saved my life. How can I repay you? How can I thank you? I wish we could know more of the story. But sometimes we get to it in real life situations where we enter into those spaces of somebody that needs help. And all of a sudden, their devotion, their life can completely turn around. We see it happen all the time at the Union Gospel Mission. If somebody comes in at the lowest of low, and life transformation happens, and all of a sudden, they're on fire for God. Because they have been given a place, they have been given bandages, they have been given a place to eat and sleep that is safe. They have been given a free bed and room and community, people that will love them. And so when we see this with this text, this is part of our heart of going, we want to provide this for people. We want to provide, this is a tangible need in our community. We want to meet this. Let's be the kind of person whose love for God spills out radically self-giving love for others. Now, before I go any further, this is like my favorite part. If I lost you, I want to gain your attention back right now, because this is, if you go away with anything, this is it. Here's where this gets even more powerful. Because this parable isn't just about what we should do. It's about what Jesus has done. I want you to stop and just sit for a second as I talk to you about this. In this story, we are not the Samaritan. We're the beaten man, broken, wounded, unable to save ourselves. That's where we are. Religion has come alongside and passed by. It has looked upon us and said, don't want to deal with it. But who is the one that stops? Who is the one that takes the time to bandage the wound, to take you to the inn, to care for you? Jesus is our Samaritan in this story. We are the one broken and wounded on the side. Again, Jesus has stepped in, bound our wounds, paid our debt. And then, I love this, at the end of this, he says, I'm going to pay for everything for this man, and then I'm going to return, and I'm going to reimburse you for whatever else is left. Jesus has taken care of everything. So as we see, isn't that beautiful? When this struck me, I always love the parables of trying to see one myself. I initially see myself almost always first. Maybe that says more about my heart, right? But then eventually I think the Holy Spirit draws me in and goes, okay, I want you to see Jesus in this. Jesus is the one that comes and stops and cares for us. Never, ever forget that we were the one on the side of the road, broken wound, and Jesus came to bind up our wounds and care for us. Isn't that beautiful? I just love seeing that in this setting of Scripture. How does this now inform the way we live? I wanted to talk about how does this inform Union Gospel Mission's perspective and philosophy of care for people? One, we don't want to be indifferent. We don't want to just pass by. We see people, what we saw in Clarkston behind Walmart, what we saw in Foster Park, what we see as women and children and men are pushing carts with their supplies in their cart. We want to not be indifferent. Don't just turn the other way. We pray for them. We can stop. We can ask them how they can help. And eventually, and this is the whole reason, is that you can share with them, hey, there's a place down the road that you can go that can help you. Because we also don't want to just enable. We don't want to just give the $5, the $10 to continue whatever position they're in. We want a pathway out of homelessness. We want a pathway out of addiction. And so the UGM, one of the philosophies that we hold to is a high barrier shelter. And so we want a sober and safe environment. Now you may relate to this, but if you've ever had a habit that you want to get rid of, let's say it's soda. You want to get rid of soda, and everybody else in your family drinks soda. Not only that, your friends drink soda, right? Every aspect of your life, there's people drinking soda, but you want to get rid of soda in your life. You need an environment that's conducive to that change. So somebody that is on drugs, wanting recovery, is just at this point of hating what is happening to them. They need an environment that is conducive to change, that's going to support them in their recovery. And that's something that we, as a mission, as a ministry, want to do, is provide a safe and sober environment that people can go from this place to this place to this place, and eventually back into being a contributing member of society. We partner with the Inland Northwest, Union Gospel Mission does, to reach the poor with the love and power of the gospel, so they may become God-dependent, contributing members of society. That is our purpose. That is why we are a ministry. Now, I love to talk about more after the service, but with Union Gospel Mission coming down from Spokane, we have 70 years, almost 75, excuse me, next year is our 75th, 75 years of experience working with homelessness. It began with a group of businessmen that saw a need in Spokane. And if you know where the Chili's is, just across the Spokane Event Center, that used to be the Union Gospel Mission. We started out as a soup kitchen and quickly found out we need to do more. We cannot just feed people. We want freed people. And so we started this philosophy of coming alongside people, and it's very biblical, of discipling them, helping them learn the ways of Jesus, the kingdom of God, and then inviting them back in to help mentor and guide others out of the darkness and lawlessness that happens within addiction and homelessness. More and more we see that women and children are in need. And so if you would have said to the founders that we would now have 3 women and children's shelters, they would have said that you're off your rocker. The men need help. But now we see more and more women coming out of domestic violence situations, not being supported by husbands or family members, situations that is hard places. We want to continue to see. And so we'll actually have a shelter here for men, women, and children. It'll be a 2-story. If you've driven by, it's that big shelter building that's being built. And so men will enter in the bottom floor, women and children up on top. We'll have a cafeteria off to one side and an administrative chapel, childcare, maintenance area on the other. And we want to come alongside people and provide a full body kind of care. So mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, that we are trying to address. We are integrated beings. We don't want to just address one. We want to address all of that. Our work to provide a place for those in need, we're reminded of Jesus' love and his work in the Good Samaritan and who he wants us to be. We believe that transformation starts with loving our neighbor. I say that in a simple way, but loving your neighbor is hard. But I would say it's good. And Jesus wants what is good for us. We're committing walking alongside individuals that have been hurt, that have been marginalized, that have made their own decisions. I always like to frame it like this. There is sin done by them, to them, and sin that is affected around them that have brought them to this place. And so rather than just addressing symptoms, we want to go to those root issues. We want to address why do we do the things we do? Why are you coping in this way? Those are the things we want to address. Those are the things Jesus wants to address in our hearts, isn't it? So I stand up here and I want to say first and foremost, as we continue, thank you. You as a church body have already decided and come alongside us financially supporting Union Gospel Mission. And it is because of partnerships like this that we're able to do what we do. We are not government funded, which is amazing because then we get to continue preaching the gospel without any barriers. We get to ask our residents, we require certain things of them in the shelter, one, being safe and sober. 2, we ask them into community, chores and life skills of partnering with us with kitchen and maintenance and housekeeping, all things that we all do in life, right? The other thing that happens with our partnerships is that we need volunteers. We like to say that we're staff-supported volunteer-run. We have around 250 staff in our ministry. That's between our thrift stores, our motors, our shelters, our recovery centers. And then we have over 3,000 volunteers that come alongside us. And we love to see that because it's a partnership with the church. We know that churches cannot come alongside a neighbor that is in the ditch, beaten and bruised, and care for them back to health. What we can do is provide a ministry that partners with the church, that comes alongside and says, let's do this together. This will be our lane. This is what we're gonna cover. Will you help us with that? And so volunteers, there's volunteer opportunities within UGM. All of the ministers in here, one of the main goals as a preacher is to equip the saints for ministry. We want to equip those that are in the family for ministry. And so I want to encourage you, equip those of us in here for the work of ministry, of going to the neighbor on the side of the road so that you have the tools, you have the words, you know what to do in those situations. So come alongside us with mentoring programs, meal providers in the kitchen, prayer partners. I think one of the biggest things that maybe we sometimes place at a lower level is just building relationships. Like, you might feel a little uncomfortable walking in with somebody in their situation, but I'll tell you what, the same things that are being worked out in that person's heart, you can relate with. When we really get down to fears, anger, frustration, sadness, grief, all of those things you can relate with. And they're the people that we meet with day in and day out. They're people. They're made in the image of God, just like you and I. And we have training opportunities in that, but just sitting down and having a meal with somebody can change somebody's life trajectory. Your generosity has provided us a place of refuge. And I love we're at a place now where we can say that building, we steward our funds well. We steward your funds well in saying we're completely debt-free. That building is paid for. Yeah, thank you, Marie. We're paid for, and we're moving forward in this next year of going to start fundraising for our operation now. And there's a couple of other things that we're furnishing, opportunities, a children's playground, but the build project itself is funded. An $8.9 million build project is completely funded. Wow. Praise be to God. I never would have thought years ago, thinking that first our initial estimate was $7 million. And what happened was we came under some extra funds that we wanted to start pursuing, but then we built a third building and we said, man, we need to bump up that build project to 8.9. And as a team, we said, no way. We can't raise another almost $2 million. And yet the community, foundations, grants have come up, and God has just blessed UGM to have that shelter there. So we thank you, thank you, thank you. If you feel led to be a part of the mission here in the LC Valley, there's a couple of cards there in the back. It has a get involved card. It has your email, a phone number, your address. I'd love to get you on the email address as we, in several months, begin training for volunteer opportunities. It's a wonderful ministry to be a part of. It's a way to serve in the community. So I end this message with this, and I want to use the text in saying, let's go and do likewise, but I love the notion, the thought of go and become. Go and become a person that would be like the Good Samaritan. That would be like, dare I say, Jesus? Of stopping for that person on the side of the road and caring for them. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit's help and strength to become that. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the text. Thank you that you have given us the words of life. You have provided for us a way to live that is beneficial not only for ourselves, but for others that we come in contact with. You, Lord, have given us life. Jesus, would you bless us as we seek to honor you, seek to love our neighbor? And Father, fill us with a desire. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with your desire to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our strength, our mind, our soul, everything within us, that we would love you. And as we go about, as we go and preach the good news, Father, help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus, thank you for being the Good Samaritan. Thank you for coming and saving us. Lord, God, we love you because you first loved us. You first came to us. In your name, Jesus, amen. This last hymn just, it connects so well with what we're talking about in saying Jesus paid it all. And so Bonnie's going to sing this last hymn for us. And if you would sing out and have that in mind of the Good Samaritan bandaging, taking care of us, Jesus caring for us. And I would love to talk with any of you after the song in the back. Thank you so much for having us here today.